of you, welcome. We have a few hiccups here and there. Our community has been hit by a lot of misfortune of now late. We haven't been having our secretary for 3 weeks because she has a family matter to attend to, mainly attending to her father who is ill, who has been very ill. Now, standing for her is Pat here, and so we hope that she'll feel as comfortable as possible, and so that the committee must do its work. But we do not have crisis, honorable members. It's not like we are late, we won't achieve our targets. We will achieve our targets before the end of the financial year, as we are starting here. There is also a problem at the precinct, parliament precinct, because the venues, there are no venues there. Many committees are meeting, and we had our program approved late because of the absence of the secretary. But I hope we'll cover up the castle. I see the CEO of the Castle of Good Hope is here. You kind of architecture here is very old fashioned. If you can make sure that you make ramps. You don't know that they are saying that they did not know that we have people on wheelchairs. Now I said to them, now you must know that people on wheelchairs in our committee are in the majority. Mm-hmm. More than people who are not on the wheelchair. So you must make sure that you upgrade this as a matter of agency. But we had a program which was sent to you, honorable member. We didn't receive any amendment. I take it that the program for this term is adopted, and on the first on our agenda, we don't have a lot today as per the program. The department is going to present a second and third quarterly performance report, and that will be our agenda for today. Honorable Marais?
Can I just ask,
do you
have a suggestion for a program
we
can send it to the office?
If you have got suggestions, I mean, no, sure, do it. You are welcome to do it, Honorable Marais. Yeah.
Sometimes things happen regularly that one thinks that maybe it's good that the portfolio committee can apply its mind.
Yeah.
I've just picked up what the minister said last week in the National Council of Provinces in terms of stuff being stolen, and I thought that is a serious threat.
What was stolen?
Aircraft.
Oh, yes.
And that being the reason why we send pilots to Cuba and Russia for training. And I thought that, you know, I mean, that's a serious, serious, serious issue. And I thought to myself, maybe we must request the minister that none of us have taken on that. Maybe she's been misinterpreted, misunderstood. I don't know what the fact is, and I don't want to make an assumption. And I think after the portfolio committee, that's a quite serious thing.
No, that just sent it to Honorable Marais, yes, we agree, and then we'll look into it. And if there are any amendments, I thought you will also talk about the Air Force One that got stuck in Burundi. So those are the things that you are topical, must look into sometimes. Honorable JJ?
No, thank you very much. I agree with Honorable Marais. But any matter which is sent forward, it must be scrutinized whether it can be put in the agenda or it needs just one-on-one interaction. If you think in that fashion, you can work.
I think that is the understanding here. Yeah, that should be the understanding for the board.
Then can we go straight to the presentation of the department? Second and third quarter report. Why do we have a second quarter report at this time? Doesn't it seem like a very strange? Having a second quarter report now. But what I'm saying is that when you say second quarter, you as the department, which month are you referring to?
Second quarter is from July to September.
Or July to September.
From October to September. And I think fourth quarter to September.
Okay. Yes. Okay, can you go on? Okay.
Okay, thank you. I thought I'll press introduce my
as audible as possible under the circumstances. We are here to present, the aim of the presentation is to present to you members of the PCD. The second and the third quarterly report. Our scope is the legislative requirements, which members are familiar with. Then we will present part one, which is non-financial performance information, and part two, which is financial performance. The legislative requirements that govern our appearance here, Chair, is found on pieces of legislation and policy requirements. We are here in terms of Section 38, paragraph 1, a subparagraph Roman figure 1 and 2. It requires the accounting officer of a department to have and to maintain effective and efficient transparent systems of financial and risk management, and to ensure that you also have systems of internal audit that will be under the direction of the audit committee. Again, Chair, you will know that the Treasury Regulations paragraph 5 pertains to the strategic and the reporting, and in that case we are here again, we are required to have procedures, departments to have procedures for quarterly reporting to the executive authority. This is to make sure that you facilitate performance and performance monitoring and evaluation, and where there is a corrective action required, we'll do that. And then we also are aligned to the framework for strategic plans and annual reports, and I don't have to read that to you, Chair, except that we are required here to make sure that we are on track as the accounting office of a department. And lastly, there has been a requirement by the presidency, the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, for us to submit information at 30 days after the end of the quarter. But the information we submit is not validated. We are required to follow up with the validated information when we submit the preliminary data for the next quarter. Members are familiar with the traffic lights, so I will not go and explain it, but what I'm going to do, I am going to explain areas where we are red or where we are amber and the reason for that. Members know that the department has eight programs, Chair. We are now on administration program, which is primarily the work of the Defense Secretary. But Chair, you have to just remind you that human resources is a shared or what we call central staff, as well as legal services. So in other words, it reports to both the Secretary for Defense and the Chief of the Defense Force. The programs under the FNDS chair, we still have an administration program, but it focuses only on the chief office as well as the corporate staff office. For example, the military police will fall under this program. Military police, the reserves, CMIS are, not CMIS, the reserves are the captain general also is in this program. The Defense Secretariat Chair, mainly you will see that the indicators here pertain to governance because it's the Secretariat. The sub-program of the Department of the Departmental Direction, which is under the Secretary for Defense, one pertains to adherence to the OD Government Promulgation Schedule. Now, this indicator is a collective indicator for the strategies and the policies that fall under the Secretary for Defense. One is our target was that we will have a plan that we will present for approval to the Minister of Defense on the implementation of the defense review. And I can safely say to you, Chair, that the department was here last year, October, to present the progress report on the implementation of the defense review. We have identified the deliverables that will be implemented in the 2016-2017 financial year, and those deliverables will be what we call minimal cost deliverables, or it will be the deliverables that we can execute within our allocated budget. We are at a stage, Chair, where we have sequenced our deliverables. The final report for the whole Arresting the Decline 5-year plan, we are projecting that it will be ready for approval, at least a draft, by March, April, Chair. But the deliverables that we are executing in 2016 is already in the ATP that the Minister will be taking this year, this March. Under the external statutory responses, this is 100% green because it actually depends on the information that is required by Chapter 9 institutions. The public protector might want us to answer some questions. It could be the Gender Commission, could be Public Service Commission. So we are green on that one, Chair. The percentage compliance with submission dates of the accountability documents. Now, accountability documents, it might seem like we're repeating ourselves here, but it's all those documents that we submit to oversight bodies. It can be the tabling of ACP's annual reports, the submission of financial disclosures, the submission of performance agreements, all fall under the accountability documents. In this respect, Chair, we managed to submit the annual report. It was tabled last year on time. Actually, we were even 2 days before the actual end of the month. So we are green. Same applies to the ATP. We managed to submit the first draft. The requirement is that we submit the first draft of the ATP in August. So we did that, and we also submitted the second draft. So the requirement is that it's submitted in November, and we did that. When it comes to the research capability status, when we came here last year, the first quarter it was red, but we are now on amber because we do have a concept document that is already in process, the conceptualization of this research capability. It will be a big program that will include what is required by the defense review as what we call defense sciences. Now I'm on page 6, Chair, where we're talking about the Department of Defense information strategy status, as well as the information and communication system policy development plan. both these chair are green because they have been approved. They are on execution, being executed, and the monitoring and review will happen in the last quarter of the year. The percentage adherence to the DOD governance schedule, this refers to not your high-level policies, but your transaction policies that allow you to do your work, your everyday work. It can be asset management policy, it can be finance policy. What we do here is my division provides support to functional authorities who are responsible for various policies. And this is green chair. The percentage compliance with submission dates of accountability documents, like I've said, you will see that because we have sub-programs, and these sub-programs are contributing to the same indicator sometimes. It sounds like you're repeating yourself, so I'm not going to repeat the submission of these documents. The risk management chair, in the last quarter, the first quarter, we were at level 4. Now, what happens here is that we submit information for assessment to National Treasury and on our risk management processes and how we execute risk management in the department. And the National Treasury will give us a score and from 1 to 6, 6 being the highest. So we are at 4. And we are revising this indicator down to a 5-chair. We thought we were too ambitious to project to a 6. The reason why we got it's not a low score because 5 is still not a bad score, but we haven't achieved as planned, is that in the department, the strategy, the risk management is not yet in the performance agreement of all the SMS members. That's what National Treasury said. The next assessment will be in March, and we are, this March 2016, we are hoping that when we report to you in the first quarter of 2016, we will be reporting a fund. I'm confident that we'll be reporting a fund. But if we don't improve, it's not that I'm misleading. I'm just confident that we'll have a fund. The MPEG chair is a program of the presidency in which they assess us on a number of management areas, which is governance and administration, finance, strategic management, and so on. Here, chair, we target a 2.5. In our self-assessment, we are in 2.9, but the results that we got were down to 2.3. However, we are given an opportunity to challenge the scores if we see that there are areas where we can still submit evidence. We are also confident that with the challenge that we submit, we will improve the score. Our submission of financial management quotas that can be anything from financial statements to National Treasury, early warning system, adjustment budget, everything that comes from the CFO's office is on track. So we are green there. Now a difficult one, but I am reporting improvement, is the percentage payments within 30 days. In the first quarter, we didn't meet the target we read at 72, but Chair, we have had a 15% improvement here from 72 to 85% in the third quarter. I must say, Chair, that if you look at our invoices, we received in this quarter 158,083. invoices, and from those we managed to pay 134,619. So it's a very big volume of invoices that we pay. And but we will continue to improve, Chair, because we know this impact on small businesses and the masses who are trying businesses. On page 18, we address, Chair, the HRD strategy. This strategy is red because it is still to be presented to command bodies, and the long approval process is actually stifling the completion of this. But I must say that, Chair, it is my submission that the HRC strategy should have been part, a component of a big HR overarching strategy. And the HR strategy is in the deliverables for 2016-2017. So this HRD might, this strategy might be even accommodated as part of the bigger HR strategy that is in the defense review. The National Youth Service, we indicated in the last, in the first quarter that we have discontinued this policy. The reason being, this is not our core business, but we are contributing towards the National Youth Service. So we are managing this by means of the MOUs between us and the department, which is now the Department of Rural Development. We are also working here with the NYDA to make sure that when we finalize their policy, our role is clear in that policy. Chair, I'm now on the financial disclosure. We didn't look well in the second quarter because we were at 89%. This is the requirement that all SMS members should submit financial disclosures. We are at 93% share at the end of this quarter, which was the third quarter. The SMS performance agreement, we were red in the third quarter because only 72% submitted, and in the third quarter we are amber, 78% submitted. Chair, it's difficult sometimes to explain why there is now no 100% compliance here. But part of the reason is that you have people, especially in the civilian environment, who are coming in and they are given 3 months in which to submit their performance agreement. But, Chair, these people are already penalized because when you don't submit your performance agreement, obviously there will be not an assessment, and the pay progressions are based on assessments every year. So these people who are not submitting will not move as far as they are not concerned until they have submitted. That's how it works. The number of disciplinary cases, we are red, Chair. I must indicate here that the reason is that some of the cases are very complex and therefore it takes time for them to be finalized. We also have a capacity problem because we have to train the presiding officers. Sometimes we have to train them ourselves. And sometimes these people are attacked in the services and divisions and they do other work other than just being presiding officers. And it becomes difficult to release them when they are required. Chair, we are going to be revising this. Actually, we have revised this indicator in the 2016-2017 to express a percentage of cases finalized rather than that number. That is difficult to understand where it comes from, but it's based on historical data. We thought that expressing it in percentage is much more accurate. We are amber on the number of PSEP training programs, Chair. But this is an interim figure, it's not a validated figure, Chair. And when it comes to the staffing of funded posts, we were planning for a strength of 79,000, and there is a slight decline if you look at the numbers. Part of it in the environment of the TSET is the slow processes in our environment, the slow staffing processes. The 22 on page 22 we have a green on the conviction rate of corruption and fraud, and the reason here is that indicator only requires us to report on the conviction from 5 million and above. We feel that although this indicator is from the JCPS cluster, it doesn't allow us to report on all fraud and corruption cases. And therefore, we are revising this indicator to indicate for all cases of fraud and corruption, and not just only those above 5 million. The audit plan, Chair, is green, so I'm not going to dwell on it. The intangible assets on page 24, members must just remember that the policy that we have was only focusing on intangible capital assets. We are revising this policy to include the full spectrum of all intangible assets of the department. And the acquisition commitment, we are green there because in the last quarter, in the third quarter, we are at 88%, and this is a progressive indicator change. The technology development plan is green. I'm not going to dwell much on that. And finally, on this page 26, I have here the HOC. What here happens is that we only wait, and this is an annual target, so we don't have the results of the survey now. They will be indicated in the fourth quarter check. Under the sub-program Defense International Affairs, the policy products in pursuit of defense diplomas, these are everything from processing letters of assist, the memoranda, the agreements with other defense forces, the DEFCON, anything that has to do with our foreign relations at a policy level is there, and we are green. The only delay in the policy on defense relations, that is on page 33, is because there was lack of capacity in this environment. However, we are trying to push this to make sure that it's finalized in the last quarter. We already have a high-level directive at MOD level on this matter, but we need to crystallize it into a departmental policy. The exercises, percentage deployments including training where applicable, again all that is green, but I'm going to report on Amani Africa later in the document, but we have done everything in that is required from us in terms of exercises, so we are green there, Chair. That is mostly the defense secretary. On the information that pertains to the programs of the FNDS, the first one pertains to the strategic activities of the chief. That will be his counterpart visits, his foreign visits, and so on. So there we were planning for 10, and we are at 8. The 3 will be executed in the fourth quarter. We didn't have anything in the third quarter, so that's why that one is 0. But we are confident that we will meet the target change. I'm not going to repeat the quarterly reports because the quarterly reports are accountability documents that we are always complying with. The number 3 there is the activities of the Captain General, where the Captain General plans to meet with religious advisory bodies. He could plan to meet with the Board of Jewish Board of Directors. He could plan to meet with some other religious advisory body in order to discuss matters that pertain to members of the Defense Force. So that one is green. Actually, he has already achieved this. The Defense Reserve direction. Here, the Defense Reserve could undertake roadshows, marketing events, and sometimes they don't have people available for some other reason. It could be because they are busy because these people are sometimes the organizers are employed in other areas. So we are embers here, and it doesn't look like we are going to meet the target. On the office accommodation, the payment of leases, Chair, we were planning 100%. Although the third quarter is amber, we are 4.5% below the target of the first quarter. We are overall still green day. That also depends, paying there depends also on the invoices from DPWJ. The municipal payment, there was an outstanding amount of 75 million, an invoice of 75 million rand. Chair, I can safely report that this invoice has been paid. So in the third quarter you will see that, in the fourth quarter you will see that we will be green. The outstanding on the payment of accommodation charges, Chair, again here we, although in the third quarter we were slightly below target, overall we are green. The forced employment, the program forced employment, this is the program which we have activities that are employing the Defence Force. We will, there we have external operations, and all external operations are green. Now, the reason why they are green is because these are ordered commitments. So as we are ordered to be in a, to have to spend a peace mission in a certain country, we do that. So we will always be green under ordered commitment because we work according to the orders from the Commander-in-Chief, and when we are ordered, we do that. Second one is safety and security, and these are internal commitments. Chair, that's when we support staff in certain operations. The search and rescue operations, they fall under this. The disaster relief measures also fall under this. And we are green. We have performed a number of them that I won't go through because they are in your pack. The disaster relief I've already indicated there, we treat it as an internal operation and it is green. When you go to border safeguarding, Chair, we have a statistic there in your pack where we are indicating the activities of our members in the borders, on page 45, where they recover weapons, they apprehend illegal foreigners, they arrest criminals, stolen vehicles recovered. You will see that on your page 45. In the interest of time, I'm not going to go through all of this. But this is one of our strongest achievements, Chair, in the borders. The indicator on 13 refers to joint interdepartmental, interagency, and multinational military exercises. And I have indicated that we here had a very successful exercise Amani Africa, which included countries like Algeria, Angola, Botswana, Burkina Faso, Uganda, Zimbabwe, and so on. And they were evaluating the state of readiness of the African standby force. And Chair, it was also a good opportunity to exercise the rapid deployment capability. And this went on very, very well. It was very successful, Chair. It's one of the exercises and not the only one. Under the landward defense, Chair, we they have external operations, and that also speaks to the order commitment, and we are blamed because we have fulfilled the requirements there. The percentage compliance is trading target. Now, if you look, Chair, at the first quarter, we took more than we had planned. Instead of 848, we trained more than 1,600, just above 1,600. So in the second quarter, that number decreased a bit, and in the third quarter, it decreased. But because of the intake that we took, the large intake we took in the first quarter, it has balanced itself out, and we are green at 74% overall. The same principle will apply in the air defense, where we take more in one quarter, and this is because sometimes you are shifting your schedules or your courses, so you will find that you might in one instance take more than what you plan for. But overall, again, whilst we are EMBA in the third quarter, overall we are 66.19, which is a green. Same applies to maritime, the same principle applies. When it comes to military health, the number of healthcare activities in the third quarter, it is EMBA. But overall, it is we achieved the target. And Chair, the activities we are talking about here is anything ranging from visiting a doctor to visiting a psychologist to doing your child, anything that has to do with health will fall under that indicator, and we are green there. The percentage availability for stock is a challenge. We have been, if you look at the numbers there, they don't look very good. We are EMBA, and the reason one will be the funding, the availability of funding in this program, but two, it's a national challenge in that some pharmaceuticals are not available, so you have longer lead times than you used to be. Where you used to have to wait for 3 weeks, you end up now waiting for 3 months for the pharmaceuticals. Lastly, the in this one is the training target. The training target, same principle applies, but we are overall green. On page 37, we have the percentage compliance with number of ordered commitments. Now here, like I said, everyone will be green because the contribution to the is a contribution of each program to joint force employment and the ordered commitments that the defense force has. The defense intelligence is green on 22, but the indicator on the vetting decisions taken in the second quarter, it fell slightly, but overall this indicator is still green, and we are hoping that they will be able to meet the target at the end of this quarter. The percentage compliance with codification, this is a requirement of government to, as far as your asset management is concerned, that you, all departments must have asset registers, that we must code our assets. Now, the main challenge here is that because of this requirement, we sometimes request the services of the National Codification Bureau, and this bureau cannot handle the request from all government departments. So they fell short in terms of servicing us. But having said that, we are in the department. We have started the codifiers. However, we still need to train them because they are not trained as codifiers. On page 27, the members will know that we have been saying to you that we are trying to improve the procurement processes. Our processes are a bit long. but we do have monthly forums in which members discuss the way that they can improve the procurement process. Part of it, besides the length of the process, is that the end user sometimes will submit specifications that are not clear. So the delay could be caused by just the negotiations between the end user and the procurement section, even before you get into the procurement process itself. But we are working on this chair, and we are hoping that in the future we'll be able to devolve this function so that services and divisions are able to, at local level, level 3 and 4, are able to do their own procurement. They could also, that could also help in uplifting local economies in communities where we have the basis. And now on page 39, series 28, the percentage compliance with the DOD ICT portfolio. There we talk about what we call the Enterprise Information Systems Master Plan. In the last in the second quarter, we were under, but we caught up, and the overall here we are a green chain. In case of the criminal cases, the backlog, again here the problem that we usually have will be the sometimes the availability of witnesses. It could also be sometimes this is already in the civilian court, and therefore you don't have control in there. But overall, even though we are slightly below the target of the third quarter, overall we are green. And finally, Chair, in the department we have 34 indicators in the Defense Secretariat, and we have 34 in the SNDF, but we do not count the other one when we report here because we only report on it biannually, and that is the Betty Fitness indicator. Overall, we are at 60% at the end of the last quarter green. We hope that by the end of this quarter, at least we would move to around 70-75%. Thank you, Chair. But what I haven't started, the information that I nearly forgot because it's not in my mail, that I have to touch on quickly just to facilitate the debate, is the information on financial performance. And there, just to indicate to members, that is on your page 52 of the slide, is that at the end we had planned to be at 69.7% spent at the end of the third quarter, but we slightly above that at 70.8%, and this is the information up to the end of December. And if you look at your slide 53, the program that is spending per program, I'm not going to go through that. We can take it when we are discussing. But just to draw your attention on the forced employment, that forced employment is not spending as it should be as according to plan. However, this is in no way impacting on the operations of this program. The reason was they were planning to spend their money at the end of in the last two to pay for their activities in the last 2 months of the year. If you look at your slide 55, you have the, an under expenditure of 251 million. Part of it, one is the delay by public works, to issue site clearance certificates for the upgrade of our facilities. But the other one is on the maintenance and repair of the repair work on vehicles, as well as the procurement of new vehicles and mobility packages. But like I say, this part, we are certain that we'll be able to pay in the last, according to plan, in the last 2 months of the year. So it will be more apparent in your fourth quarter spend. Then on your page 56, that is spending according to economic classification. I'm not going to go through that because it's just a breakdown of the information that I have indicated. Members might be interested on slide 58, payment for capital assets, the over expenditure there. I'm just we are indicated up front that 67.9 was due to the accrued payment from 2014. And also the payment of the equipment that was not originally included, that was not included in the original cash flow. And again, the financial assets are all those transactions that would pertain to things like the foreign exchange losses, your theft and your other losses. But we can take that up. I'm just throwing the attention of the PCD to those areas that they must want to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I can start from the beginning. On your slide 11, where you have reported on the submission of the Defence Review Implementation Plan, and where you have indicated, you know, the minimal cost delivery deliverables will be implemented in this year. Now, how does that decision affect, you know, the full implementation of the Defence Review program? Because obviously the program has got a certain deliverables, but it seems like because of budget constraints, you're not going for the full out, but you are going for the minimal cost deliverables. How does that affect the efficiency and the objectives with this review plan over the medium and long term? Then on page 17, where you have indicated an output of 85% paid within 30 days. Is that only those that the Defence Forces pay themselves? What about the implicated obligations of the Defence Force that is done by the Department of Public Works? You know that there are certain things where they do it on your behalf because it's their building, etc. But you are, you know, the people inside the buildings, for instance, that we know that they can be delayed, and it might leave the impression that the Defence Force, you know, is making use of the facilities and not paying. While it might be the Department of Public Works. I just want to know if there is a per implication obligations from the Defence Force agreement to set straight. On page 18, on that serial 16, you have indicated the Human Resource Development Strategy will not be approved during 2013-16. Are we already in 1670? That sounds worthy to copy and paste that. Why does it indicate will not be approved during 2015-16? I mean, we are basically beyond that point. So I'm just cautious asking whether that is just a copy and paste or is it existing, you know, and if not, what is the real situation? Okay.
Thank you very much, Chef. And thanks for this presentation from the department. My first question, Chef, would be around the support program that is under general support program. The control of community chairperson on its oversight visited Kaupeng of which I was part, and I noted with concern the state of some of the facilities of the SANDF. Some buildings were very old and dilapidated, some were no longer conducive to be used. The lower than planned performance on buildings and fixed structures is seriously a concern to us. So also under problem two, there is a slow spending on buildings that is factoring there. I should think the reason should be provided by the department. And also checking from the department on how are the engagement and what are the outcomes between the department and the Department of Public Works. Because what we saw during oversight is really a worrisome factor. And the slow spending on buildings also factors on program 3. So we really need clarity from the department. What is happening there? So are there any challenges between themselves and the Department of Public Works? We need to know. And my second question, Chair, will be on program 4. That is the air defense. That is 1.1% of protected, 52% was spent on specialized military assets. In such a highly specialized program, really this is a concern. What contributed to this slow spending? And are there any steps taken to remedy the situation? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, the issue that normally one has to try and balance the budget as far as possible and to keep in line, and not if you do overspend, then it's planned that the last quarter there will be good reason why the overspending has happened. What I have a problem with is that we see that there's not overspending by small amounts, sometimes by huge amounts. And how did that happen when there was planning that took place in the budget and that there were projected figures at the time and then suddenly it's inflated? The one flaw, like for instance, if you look at the specialized military assets, the overspending on that. Now, how was that planned? Now, certainly when you overspend on certain items, that means you will underspend on other items. And generally we try to keep within the less than 8% variance to try and balance things. But if something has not been committed and things are added to the budget, which is not part of the normal budget, then it becomes a concern regarding the whole planning that is done at the beginning of every year or the previous year for the new year. So I think there's a number of issues here where overspending has taken place. And we'd like to know how it has been justified in terms of the budget, and if there's been overspending, and how that impact on the rest of the budget. And I think it's been raised also by Monique, the issue of the maintenance, where there's been underspending, and we've got a great concern as a committee regarding our buildings, and particularly the military barracks of our soldiers and the conditions of the living conditions of our soldiers. So we wouldn't like to see any underspending when it comes to building maintenance. Those are priorities, and that we have at least decent living facilities for our soldiers. The other concern I have is the medical stock, which has not been achieved, and the note is actually very disappointing that the government is not taking extra measures to ensure that soldiers have the necessary medication or medicines, and stopped at 50%. You already complained about 50%. Now it's even worse, it's less than 50%. And the procurement is now being stretched to longer periods. Now, why hasn't those measures been envisaged also to prevent that procurement is now delayed because of certain certificates not being placed? Wasn't that anticipated? Because it all has a consequence and an impact directly on the soldiers. Regarding the health activities, I see there's a huge increase in the number of health activities. We acknowledge that it's all different types of activities, different consultations, visitations, whatever it's going to be. How does this correlate with the health activities of the military veterans that must also access the medical facilities under the DOD? What is the percentage of military vets? Can we have an equation to deduct it, or do we just take that reference there? How is that actually measured and monitored, that we know exactly, and because there will be a huge increase in military veterans accessing medical health facilities. That's the other one that I want to raise. And then of course, the funding of posts. I see there's also funding of posts. We see as percentage compliance with plan, talking of funded posts, as standing at 96%, 76,377. And the target that's been set is about 79,500. Now there's a directive that has gone out from ministry and from the president that there's no further appointments that's going to take place. Can we have a clear indication of what are all the critical posts? Because those are the only posts that will be allowed to be filled, and all other posts will be frozen in view of the economy and financial constraints, and that we have to cut back on each and every ministry and every department in this country. So I'd just like to know what exactly is that position and how it will impact also on the DOD.
Thank you very much, sir. The person who has been advising for a long time to the department about this issue of high spending. Can you get a sense of
she can't hear?
We have been advising all along on issues of outstanding invoices that the department must have some engagement. Can we get a sense how far have you gone with this issue? Because it impacts on your payment on time.
Yes.
Secondly, the issue of corruption, when you look to this amount, 5 million, is too high, and what mechanism has department that you are putting in place maybe to minimize such cases? What really is affecting your expenditure or your budget? And also the issue of people who are staffed as qualifiers, who are not trained, what plan do you have to train them, and what impact does this affect their money or their work as they are deployed in those positions? And lastly, this issue of over expenditure, what impact does it have to the Auditor General during the auditing period? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much. We the department of honorable and
My point is on the first review. I heard Parakun here properly, Param Ten Karen, which means you have done a space, you have moved on the second review. But then I've read of the regime, the late regime, if it was, as you submitted in the last meeting, which I was not part of. Now my question is, seemingly, because there were many issues that were raised in terms of the review of that defense review, in terms of the structure, in terms of transformation, in terms of the reflection on democracy, in terms of the future army that we want to see, but in terms of what I've seen, and seemingly nothing in terms of what we were proposing that you took into consideration. Seemingly, there will be no change in as far as what we were saying. For instance, we pointed in terms of your structure at the moment, that at the moment, after those who are leaving out, the other ones who are coming, most of them, in terms of the race, may non-offender, and you have not changed anything in terms of that. So I'm interested to know, when you are sitting here discussing the field, when you go back, what are considerations about the issues that were raised? Because when we were raising those changes or issues that we thought that they were critical, it was because we thought that we need to change the plan. For instance, there was a suggestion which said last time that there is a need by the minister to make some intervention agent before even the implementation of that review, but seemingly nothing of that nature is coming from what was presented last time, that the direction towards that direction, that they can change. I'm not sure whether you are clear because I'm very broad on what I'm saying, but I'm reflecting on the fact that I didn't see any change in what we suggested in terms of the defense of the fact these are the issues that we must consider in China so that we can get the best out of this army. So, second thing, we talked about the maintenance and everything of the castle and other army material. With respect to the army that there are military veterans that are outside the army, that when you are procuring for the maintenance, these are
The first one is that we'll remember that the minister announced 2015-16 as the year of planning for the for the implementation of the dissent review. Now, what we have done is that the year 2016-2017, we acknowledge that by that time there are still certain activities that we need to do that will form the foundation for actually the implementation of milestone 1 to the milestone 4. So the deliverables that we have identified that are low cost is because we didn't want to say no, we haven't had a discussion with the National Treasury, or we wanted to first identify those areas, and those areas are, for example, the military strategy will be in the 2016. Now, you will know that you need to finalize the military strategy, your force design and everything, force structure, before you even move to your capability development. So no, the areas that we identified were simply because we know that they are low cost, they are mainly on the areas of strategy and policy, and they are going to form the foundation for the extra, for the implementation of these milestones. So they are already milestone one. We do accept that if we don't get additional injection of resources, the milestones, the completion of a milestone is, theoretically we say a milestone will take 5 years. But if you don't get injection, it might be moved to the right. So you might end up implementing your first milestone for 5 years, for 6 years instead of 5 years. But we were very strategic in the way that we selected the indicators, the deliverables for 2016-17. We selected those that were strategic and those that were going to form the basis for the same foundation. They were going to form the same foundation for the implementation of the defense review. So they are not, our choices are not going to impact negatively on the milestone implementation, as long as we manage to get an injection further on. I must say that in this, for example, we are also working on the costing model, right? The costing model, why we are working on it is because we know that when we go to National Treasury to negotiate with them, they will ask us on what basis, what is the methodology you use to arrive at these figures, because it's going to be big numbers. So we will finalize the costing model so that our numbers are credible, but we are also working on the funding model so that once we have these, the costing model and the funding model will then tell us where we're going to take how we're going to fund the implementation of the defense review. The part of it, I was informed that the AMCO came down and they made a presentation together with the Secretary for Defense and the Minister last year on their concepts and thinking of how they can assist in leveraging funds for the defense review. So there will there won't be any negative impact on the choices that we have made. The second one about you member said that we are saying will be here, but we already passed that point on the milestone on page 18, where we're talking about the strategy that it will not be approved in the 2015-2016. But Chair, we are in 2016, but we're still talking about 2015-16 financial year. So it's not cut and paste, but when you think about it psychologically, you are in 2016, so you think as if it was last year. But it's not last year, it's still within the same financial year. So we are saying this financial year, 2015-16, which we have not completed, we are likely not to finish this. So it's not cut and paste, it's very well thought through. The support program that Honorable Nisi is speaking on, I will ask her about the facilities, the state of facilities. I will request General Ramaswamy to respond to that. But at a level where I sit, Chair, we do acknowledge this, But I hope General Ramaswamy will also touch on the work formation and also the challenges in this respect.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think this, as the Honorable Minister pointed out, has been a problem to the Department of Defense, to the extent that we then went on to take initiatives to have an in-house capability to be able to renovate our own facilities. And we are at a point where there has been an MOU that has been signed between our two ministers and the Minister of the Department of Public Works, as well as the Minister of Defense and Ministry of Veterans. So that has been signed and is in place. And we are at this stage busy with the structure of the work formation to ensure that it is well capacitated to be able to handle the volume of work in terms of our facilities, renovate them, get them combat ready to be used by within the department. So obviously the engagement that was there took place and was then followed by the signing of this MOU. And so far that is where we are. Unfortunately, we have been having this situation for a while, and then we have to take the initiative to say, what do we do with it? We cannot allow it to continue as is at this point in time. And as for the structure of the West Formation, we are at this point at a 74% staff ready to be able to do some of the work. And we are moving in terms of the advertisement of the food, where we need some specialist capacity. We are also advertising that one so that we can get those specialists. But otherwise, that is what we are doing as a DOD, trying to get out from the Department of Public Works and do this job ourselves. It has been a problem. I think about that one, that is what I can say. We are enhancing our work capability to be able to do this work. Thanks, Chairperson.
Chair, the impact of overspending, there was a question by a member on how this impacts and how can we justify the overspending. I request for you to indicate what is happening in this respect. What I can indicate here is that sometimes you are overspending in line, you are overspending your projection, but you are not overspending the vote. So there is a difference there. It's not that you are going out of your vote, you are moving money. But I do understand what the member is saying about it does cast doubt on your planning. But I can assure you that it doesn't impact on the actual operation. But I'll ask Louis Nassau to explain briefly how it works.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, first of all, I think it's important to note the information that's been provided by the analysts out of USA. They compile it from the India Monitoring System. In the India Monitoring System, that's where your original vote is to where your current vote is, only allows you to capture environment. Environment is specific things that you need to comply with before you can record this environment. For instance, internal adjustments between different cover items to use the correct cover item is not being recorded as environment, and that adjustment you do not see on the report. And that is some of the reasons why in some cases you will see the expenditure as a bug or original bug, because the internal adjustment that the department already affected does not reflect during that report. So that's one of the main reasons, and that's why you'll see in our presentation we also indicated this will be done by the final adjustment at the end of the year when we prepared the appropriation statement. There was also the question on the audit, and in the previous audit we always receive a clean audit on those things because the process is in place, all approvals is in place to adjust the budget accordingly. The second reason also having an effect that you will spend more than what you planned for is typically when there was non-performance and it's from a specific supplier or a delivery that did not take place during the previous financial year. That rollover to us the first commitment to the next financial year. And due to the fact that the cash flow projection for the department, like for 16-17, is already submitted on the 29th of February for the year to come. So that is quite in advance, not knowing what is the end result. And that also has an effect on what you plan and what you put aside for that. So that's the main reasons for in terms of that. And, but what I can assure the committee is that all things are in place in the department. We make sure that there will not be an over expenditure at any place in the department. We will adjust and make the necessary adjustments and the underperformance on the infrastructure was handled by General Ramaphosa. Thank you, Chair.
Next slide, one to we must also clarify the version one of the so that honorable members might understand from what. Because if you don't do that, you can't get a copy of the honorable
members.
Now we take that, Chair. The invoices, Louis, the 30-day invoices, and whether they include the interviews.
So currently the system that's developing the department only monitors our own invoices. So that's what the department is responsible for paying ourselves. That means at an hospital, because we're using the same PMG account. In terms of Department of Public Works, where they pay on our behalf, that is not part of our monitoring. We, the only part from the Department of Public Works we get is when we get the final documentation and say, we paid it on your behalf, we monitor their invoice for payment that we pay them within the 3 days. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, the question that we cannot answer is, and we can provide information later, is the one whether or not the activities include military veterans. I do know that we do service military veterans at a charge, and then we give them invoices, but I wouldn't know whether the activities we can actually separate or disaggregate this into the regulars and military veterans. You wouldn't have that information. We have responded on the state of our facilities, and Chair, your question about whether or not what we do about invoices with DPW, all we can say here is that whenever we try to chase their invoices in order to make sure that we don't underspend, and then we pay them. Same applies to the teachers. We will always chase their invoices in order to make sure that they don't impact on our earnings. The question about corruption, Chair, this indicator I indicated before that it's a JCPS indicator. When JCPS cluster indicator, when they said and they were looking at areas within the cluster, they decided that it's better to look at only those that are from 5 million and above. Now, in the department, it's a good thing that actually we don't have fraud and corruption that amount to that has been detected. That's why we say, for us, we want from 2016 to monitor all cases of fraud and corruption so that we do not ignore the level that is below 5 million. So that is in the 2016 ACP. But further, we do have a directorate that Chair is mandated to look at matters of fraud and corruption. They have roadshows in which they raise awareness about matters of corruption and fraud, and they are the people who will detect this and who will even refer certain cases to the Ministry of Police. We do have a fraud prevention plan in the department that we also monitor. We do have forums in which we discuss matters of corruption and fraud and how it can be prevented in the department. Thank you. Sorry? I think there is a very difficult question by on the defense review and how we dealt with the input that was made by PCB. All I can say here is that there was input. I wasn't directly involved with this, but what we did was there was input that we took immediately into the defense review. For example, we, according to the, when we were busy with the defense review, we had proposed a structure, an extra committee that will function like the Standing Committee on Defense Intelligence, that would be in which the defense forces appear to present especially matters of sensitive information. And that the PCB said, no, we will decide how to deal with it. So we took that out. And there were certain matters that we need to take, not in the report itself, but we need to deal with it, like the matters of structures. The structuring is in the defense review, that the defense force must be structured in a certain way. So those matters will be taken into when we discuss the implementation and the policies, because the issues of gender will be captured in the policies. The issues of transformation will be captured in those policies rather than in the main document. The main document makes a statement that you will have a balanced different pool. Balanced meaning it will have to cater for all the demographics, it will be professional. Now, when it comes to you with the policies that are not aligned to those pronouncements, then members then can take us to task for that. I think I'm done unless I've left someone out, because I'm not a fast writer, even at school. I used to.
Yeah.
I'll
also think about the special administrative ethics and the 2.9 million.
Referring
to inside the document, we're asking questions about overspending.
Okay, overspending,
also, the other one was the attrition and also the directors that came from treasury. And from the treasury, there will be no further appointment settings, that all posts will be frozen. Now, we know there are funded posts and there's a large amount of outstanding, their number, 2,000. And of course, only critical posts in future. Now, in the critical posts, we've got also the air crew, we've got naval combat officers, we've got engineers, we've got nurses, we've got technical expertise that's required. And they range from 40%, 6.5%, 25%, 32%. So the aim was 42% critical vacancy. So the fund is called, we have money that's there. What are the issues and how we're going to deal with? And the director that must be taken into consideration. That wasn't answered either.
Chair, we can respond on that. We have HR who can indicate how we are dealing with the matter of HR budget cuts in the department.
Thank you very much, Chair. What are the announcements of the budget cuts? Currently, what I can say is that we are in charge of the with regards to the ceiling of our compensation. So what we are doing currently, we have tried to come up with a way how to fit ourselves within the budget as proposed by National Treasury.
and the education thereof, and we are in the process of discussing that with the Service and Division. But what currently we still haven't been able to recruit according to requirements. That is how to address all the systems and services. That is our plan. With regards to the sharp end, because they have to, the combat officers and nurses, they have to really. The issue there is that I can say that we are constantly, we have not yet reduced the requirements that the Air Force wants to continue the recruiting, and we are intending to not to reduce that, but we have to say that before master and that is. So what I can say is that currently, the budget that has been projected, we are going to be able to deal with the requirements under there. But the challenge is that going forward, we have to sit down and come up with a strategy how to achieve our strategy. Meaning that the year that comes in the We are not currently intending to speak both because the both that will not be in the activity. And those years will say they are not funded. Those which are funded are going to be feeling them. So the Africa is aware of our plans.
I just want you to know that we were all aware of the disciplinary cases in Central Africa, part of the peacekeeping missions. I know it might be, that's based off the big story. But can you maybe inform us, what is the progress? Have you dealt with all those disciplinary cases? Because I believe that those members are still at home, and I believe that they're not, it's not been finalized. So first of all, what is the progress and how can that be finalized ASAP? Then, can I, on page 35, you have indicated about your percentage compliance with DoD training targets. Now, is that only numbers or is it compliance, in other words, competency achievement as well? Because it's so easy to chase numbers. But, we must have competent people after the training. We must know that they achieved certain measures. Chairperson, and then I've got one left. On page 43, you indicated that the NCACC's third quarter report of 2015 was tabled in Parliament. Was that done? That was not done to us. When was that done, and to whom was that done? The third quarter, so in other words, that's up to December. Was it done to this committee? There's just one clarity, and it maybe it's just an error. On page 45, if you look at the achievements for employment, the three quarters of normally comprises the total, but in terms of contraband goods confiscated, that 13 million, 10 million, 14 million suddenly becomes 264 million. That was a story we had up. Yeah. So the others add up to the total, but the contraband suddenly, you know, it jumps from 36 million to 264 million. Is that just a mistake, or what is the explanation for that enormous jump? Thank you.
I just don't need to mistake.
No, I'm checking for the report prices.
So it might be the cycle. So it shows that we read. We look and watch for it.
Can we
there's also no spending. Yeah, or lack of spending in strategic direction or the defense intelligence. Since there's no intelligence, they're not spending any money. So maybe we can just what was planned and why was there no money actually spent. And we know that we all have worries about the cyber security issues and those things. We will have a separate meeting with Peter about the matters. That's what about no spending issue or lack of spending. The other one was also the issue of the quarterly report itself, since this maybe for our purposes, Honourable Chair, is that the second quarter wasn't submitted in due time. Now, it creates a problem because you can take a second quarter, then you come to a third quarter. But our job is actually to monitor in every quarter to see that there's compliance and that fall within the variance. And also, if documents are submitted to Parliament, we don't receive it as a committee. It lies with the clerk of papers or somewhere in the speaker's office, even the APPs, the threat plans that we're supposed to have in our position. We're going now as March. We have not received any copies. Now, the department says they have submitted these documents in due time to the Parliament, but our committees are sitting with, our members are sitting without information. Now, today also, we received this yesterday. Now we have to go read. Today, this one I receive now, that we're going through presentation. Now that's not good for oversight. It doesn't give us time. We have to run like a mad thing now, and also to follow and make notes as it carries on, to ask questions. And we've appealed before that if these documents can be with the committee members, they can do a thorough study of it, they can prepare for the engagement, and then we can have a very good discussion and move on. So my appeal is please that the documentation, if it goes to Parliament, it must come to the committee, or it goes to the committee chair, it must come to the members as soon as possible and not be delayed. I'd like to ask the other question about the, was the question answered about the health services, because I see the specialists and tertiary health services, there was an over expenditure, it was about 430.9%, and I've raised the concern about the less than 50% medical stock that we have. I would think that being dealt with, are the special consideration made, or are our soldiers treated just like the normal citizen, where we also have a 50% medical stock, and also being problematic that people don't have hospitals, patients are all complaining. So I haven't got an answer on that, Honourable Chair. There's also some spending that I see on the religious services. And I believe there's some overspending. I don't know how much overspending you can have on that. But can we just get an idea of what is actually being offered besides the meeting with the religious bodies in the country? As we look at the soldiers that are affiliated to different faiths or denominations, what does it entail and why do we have an overspend on that particular activity as well? My last question, Honorable Chair, is the issue of the reserves. I want to ask a question also. The problem I have is I hear many complaints now of reserves that are normally employed for 6 months, and 6 months of the year they were out of job. Other reserves, the contract is renewed and they continue, so they work. Why isn't there a rotation when you have so many reserves? Some reserves are not employed at all. They were out of job completely. They are sitting there at home, they're doing nothing. And many others are getting the opportunity to be extended and to continue. And it seems to be more cronies that are supported and individuals that are connected to continue. So I just want to ask about the reserves, if it is being fair, and the system that is used for the employment of the reserves as well.
We guided on the issue of reserves. Here is the document. When you talk about the reserve, I'm just perusing. I want to see maybe that page that speaks about the reserve. And as far as we're talking about the quarterly report, but the reserve, I don't know on which page. Can you refer me so that we can be assisted?
No, it's not specifically dealing with the reserve report. But I'm raising the issue because it's a concern out there for the employment as well.
I'm sorry.
it should have been 39,765.
Now, why
are we blaming the machine? No, we're blaming our
machine.
No, we're blaming ourselves that we made a mistake. No, it's a human error. We're not blaming the machine.
Okay.
Yes, sir. So and we apologize.
Now we need to be really careful because those numbers are very few. You have them. And there is such a correct.
Yes.
And those who have them. You have to look at the numbers. We should not waste time yet to correct what you need to correct on your own.
No, we understand.
I think we need to do complaints outside the meeting at the top. We can't come here and not remember.
No, we take the point, Chair.
Thank you.
And we apologize. Thank you. The question on defense intelligence and the understanding and what did they plan for? Unfortunately, I can't respond on what they plan for because their plans are mostly classified. But the other one, the overspending on the state agency, I wouldn't have an answer there, but Gerald Ramanson, whether the activities of the state agency include others rather than just visiting the...
That's the question.
If you look at the number of the consultation which the chaplains had, again, this thing is spiritually driven. From a spiritual point of view, in other ways, having to... I'm looking for the right way. In other words, if there are those activities that require the attention of the chaplain general, if there is death, the chaplain general has got to attend to that. So we understand that he might have planned to say that I'm planning to do X number of activities as a chaplain. But some of his activities, he's got no control over them as they come and as they happen. And he finds himself having to attend to those ones. And that is basically what has happened. But with regards to the advisory board, which is in touch with, it is mainly because of you've got a number of, you've got soldiers that have got different denominations in the DOD. And as such, he's got those advisory boards whom he has built relationships with those ones. If a member from ZCC Church and he's made a relationship with that advisory board so that he is able to bridge the problems that arises between the member and the faith to which he belongs. And that is what we mean by those advisory boards. That is in short what they stand for. So that overspending, Chairperson, is based on that. He's got no control over that. Yes, a number of other things. But yes, exactly. Yes. And
about the wellness, I'll ask HR because there is what chaplain does, looking after the spiritual needs of the defense force members. But there is a wellness program as well that is under HR.
It's part of the wellness program.
However, there is a local school program that is in Kamba Dubai, they are called in 14 years. So they find psychology, you find social workers, and also you find nature, and also entertainment. That program is there. But chaplain is also important that they are also giving the family part of the learning program for the center of the they give in empowering the community and our communities and also our families. At the same time, they also provide that spiritual assistance for their relatives at some point. So their activities, yes, difficult sometimes to plan for because they are unforeseen activities that they have and happen on
so the cost of spiritual assistance is on
Chair, I'm also informed that there was also retirement, what we call housekeeping in this environment, and that increases also the expenditure because you have to pay these days for those people in that environment, for the retirement.
The issue about the medical stores, Chairperson, is that we do understand, we wanted it to be at 50%. But your problem with your medical activities, again, is that they are demand-driven. So, and I think the Honorable Member is saying pointed to the fact that the number of health activities went up. And that then talks to the reason why you couldn't maintain it at a 50% at the depot level. Because the more health activities you have, the more medical stock you must draw out of the depot. And so it reduces your level at the depot. And that is what happened. If we look in particular at the third quarter, that is actually what happened. But again, another factor is that the turnaround time, unfortunately, there is a national problem with pharmaceutical and medical consumables. Wherein we used to get them in 3 weeks' time, the turnaround time has increased. It was something like 3 months. And because of that awareness, we are doing our best to ensure, because now we know what the turnaround time is, we are doing our best to make sure that we restock and stock again so that we can keep our depot level at the required level. However, demand-driven is your healthcare activity, and they become difficult to control. And that is the reason why we find ourselves in this situation. We don't want to be below 50% of the target we have set for ourselves, and we try to make sure that we are not below that. I think that indicator, I'm not at the right stage. It is yellow, it is that indicator as far as I'm concerned. Now, when it is like that, it's possible that in the fourth quarter we might make it, and I'm not saying that we will make it because this thing is actually demand-driven. Thank you.
So on the one side you say we exceeding our target by far with all our health facilities. On the other hand you say we are underperforming in providing sufficient medical costs. Now the two actually work together. Is the budget projection for the coming year, considering the huge increase of military patients that we're also producing and the number of health activities that will be increasing as a medical cost supply and the budget for that will increase accordingly?
Thank you.
It's a major general.